Harper and Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and Saturdays at 6 p.m. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Did you notice my T-shirt?
I did. He's wearing this great dark gray T-shirt with navy blue writing that says 93108 strong. I told you as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, I want one. Where'd you get it?
I got it at the Upper Village party that they had 3-4 weeks ago to support businesses, and it was a great event, and it was warm enough today for me to actually wear it.
I know. It's gorgeous outside today.
Yeah. So do we have a guest today?
We do have a guest. We're all in for a treat. We have the founder of The Sandbox, Kyle Ashby, in studio with us. Kyle, thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
This is a kindergarten group?
We'll leave that as a cliffhanger.
Okay. Yeah. So the first article I have is it's entitled The Keynesian Art of Investing in Art. Now, John Maynard Keynes is considered, by the liberal economics group, the most important economist of the 20th century, but certainly even among those on the other side of the political aisle, certainly one of the most consequential economic minds of the 20th century. And what is little known about him, he was not only a stock investor, but he was a very large art investor. He invested a great deal of his wealth in art. And a couple of professors at Cambridge University, with very little to do and a lot of time on their hands, decided to take a look at all of the art that Keynes had purchased, because it's now part of a collection at King's College in London, and determine what price he paid and what the inflation-adjusted return on it would be today. And they found that it had a compound annual rate of return of 10.9%. which is exactly 1/10 of a percentage point below the return of British stocks over the same period. So what they're saying is art certainly can be, and you know, very wealthy investors do invest typically some part of their wealth in stocks. But in fact, based on Keynes's experience and for others that they mention here, art basically kind of tracks along with other assets in different classes.
Well, the difference with art and other asset classes is most of the time it's a use asset. So a piece of art that you purchase and you love and it hangs in your dining room wall, it really serves two purposes. It's not only an monetary investment, but it's also adding value to your life.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't disappoint me, because I stopped short. I didn't read the last paragraph, and you have not seen this article. And the last paragraph says exactly what you said, which is that investors in art should recognize the importance of the end psychic return is something that you can count on. And so you get the double benefit, as you say, from psychic return and investment return.
Right. My husband and I, when we got married, the gift that we gave each other is we had an artist come up and paint the scene, the view. We got married on the top of the hill in Santa Barbara looking over the ocean. And we had somebody come up and paint that picture. And so that was our wedding gift to each other.
The first deal I ever did in New York was to buy a couple of small buildings that were later converted to condominiums. And I went to the head of the investment firm I was with and said, I'd like to do this deal. Would you put up the money? And he said, why would I? I said, very quickly, I said, you know, you own a lot of, this is from a 26-year-old, you own a lot of stocks, and, you know, what are you going to do, go to a dinner party and say, I own all the stock in Xerox? But you could, if you own this building, say, I own that building on Madison Avenue. He said, you're right, and he bought it.
So you appealed to the ego.
the ego, as well as the psychic value of owning real estate, yeah. Sometimes becomes an important element in people's decision-making.
Absolutely.
Now, this article, I think, is really an important article. It's called Trade is Not the Real Job Killer. And what the author does, this is in the New York Times last week, the author does is he quotes a couple of American economists who are making the case that Trump is making, that we need to have a risk of a trade war because the amount of jobs that we've lost to China is significant. And they say that between 1999 and 2011, 2.4 million jobs were destroyed in the United States because of China. And they talk about a similar amount that was caused by the 20 years of NAFTA. And what the author does is put in perspective what that means. It sounds like a lot of jobs, 2.4 million, but the reality is the average number of job separations in January of this year and every month is 5.4 million. And the total number of workers added in 1 year is 21 million. And so the point is that when you look at the total number of lost jobs, or assuming that they're right, that these jobs were destroyed by unfair trade practices compared to the number of jobs that are gained, you realize it's not that big a deal. And when you consider where the new jobs came from, they came from innovation. They came from, in a way, the job destruction that caused some of the jobs to be lost were also resulted in the creation of many, many new jobs.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because when you read an article like this and you said, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And it isn't if it's not your job that's being eliminated. But I think what we have to remind ourselves is that a great example is manufacturing. Manufacturing in the U.S., it's not as cost effective as doing it in, say, China, because of the cost of the human capital. And part of it is shifting Americans into jobs that are higher paying and more skilled so that they actually have a career and a job moving into the next century is really, I look at that as a positive, not a job killer, but rather, you know, creating more jobs that are more highly skilled as that can't be replaced by computers or automation.
I agree with you completely. And there was an article this weekend in the New York Times about Elkhart, Indiana, which is the home of mobile home builders. And they're at 100% employment. It is possible to work as a worker in a mobile home plant, recreational vehicle, not mobile home, recreational vehicle business.
That is kind of a mobile home, right?
Right. But it's a very specific...
business, and they're expensive RVs.
Right. It's a blue-collar job, but you can make between $80,000 and $100,000 a year being a blue-collar worker in this environment of very strong sales. And so what they're finding, because they have no... they don't have enough people who are available to work, they're giving bonuses for people to start and to stay. And so everyone is finishing high school is not going to college in the town because mm-hmm. How can they walk away from $100,000?
Right.
And this is the problem, and I'm not saying this is a problem for Elkhart, but when you make decisions based upon short-term expediency that may not have the ability to sustain itself and therefore lose the option to be able to be hired in other jobs. I mean, they listed the qualities that you need to be in this high income level at Elkhart. You have to be able to bend. You have to be able to lift heavy things. You have to be able to, I mean, it was all, I mean, I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't, you know, even do any of that. But the reality is if they can't do that, what else can they do? And so you have a successful story there at Elkhart, but I don't know what happens if people stop buying recreational vehicles.
Well, but that said, they could always go back to school at a later date and further their education.
Well, that didn't happen in Detroit.
True.
And that, you know, we don't have a system set up for that, which we should, a system of re-educating. And, you know, what we have now in our political discourse is the idea, let's save what jobs we can. And, you know, let's help the people who are steel workers or people who work in mines.
We have to also recognize that all this talk about trade tariffs has really made the market much more volatile than we've seen in the last few years. We've enjoyed a very last 24 months of very little volatility in the stock market. And now with the talks of trade wars, the market has become extremely volatile.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
Or you can also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And so we're in studio with Kyle Ashby, the founder of The Sandbox here locally. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got from, you know, an MBA graduate or, you know, we don't have to start at birth, but an MBA to finding The Sandbox, and then we'll get into what The Sandbox actually is.
Yeah, sure. I grew up in town, was a local Goleta kid, and ended up at UCSB in film, film and geography as a double major. Had a passion for visuals and a passion for making maps and kind of telling stories. Ended up at a TV station in San Diego and with a new art director who said, "What is this web thing? I don't know what this is. Can you figure this out and learn how to make websites?" And I did. From there, worked with literally job after job after job for tech companies, building websites, managing marketing teams, managing creative direction. And at the same time, worked with startups and knew there needed to be a little bit of a startup community around here. So started rallying people together through events, bringing people together, making connections, that sort of thing. Ran a group, or still ran a group called Startup Santa Barbara for about the last 10 years and always needed or realized we needed spaces to put startups and community together. So that's how the Sandbox
kind of
evolved. So
you really came out of being a consultant for these technology companies and creating websites for them, which...
Yeah, web and marketing and visuals and digital and all that kind of stuff. Anything anybody needed really in the marketing space, I could, you know, I would either do it myself or go hire a team to do it and get things done.
Wow, so you were really a founder of that whole industry because that industry was just on the cusp of coming around in the late 90s.
Yeah, very early on. I one of the early opportunities here was to work with a company called ImageX, which is still around. Very early, very young, and just kind of learned with a great team and learned how to do things. And from there, kind of worked with literally most of the tech companies in town that are still around today.
Right. Now our listeners can't see you, but you're far too young to be called a grandfather in this space. But in fact, I think you are in online marketing.
Yeah, it's been fun. There's a lot of great talent in Santa Barbara, and I feel blessed to have worked with or next to a few.
So when you left San Diego and the TV station, was your thought that you always wanted to come home back to Santa Barbara?
My thought was every time I passed Ventura,
You might not leave.
I took a deep breath and relaxed a bit and realized if I can do that anywhere, why not do it here?
Great. And so you founded the Sandbox. So tell us a little bit about what the Sandbox is and then how you got to this idea.
Yeah, sure. We're a shared workspace in the day. We have desks and co-working and offices. Bringing together the tech, the creative community, and a really unique group of lifestyle brand entrepreneurs that are creating brands, that are working with brand companies like Patagonia and that kind of thing, food companies all under one space. That's sort of the common thread, is we're all very involved in active activities outside of life, outside of work.
Outside of life, what are those?
In our life, so we're paddleboarders and surfers and runners and bikers and hikers. And that really kind of is the underlying thread for a lot of the people in the space.
You're able to mesh together these people who have a passion for the outdoors.
Passion for the outdoors, yeah.
And also a passion for whatever their business, technology.
Yeah, and have created, in the process of doing that, created a lifestyle that they can enjoy Santa Barbara and enjoy what they like to do, but also create great businesses and make some good money in town.
I always say that with Santa Barbara, it's a sacrifice to live here as a young professional. And so if you don't take advantage of all those opportunities that we have of hiking and biking and swimming and, you know, all of that at your fingertips, what are you making the sacrifice
why
for?
You here? Why are you here? Yeah, right. Exactly. Along the way, we've partnered up with, we've been around for about a year, almost a year and a half, partnered up with some great local companies, Patagonia being one of them, to do events, to do movies in the space. We had a great event just last Saturday with Liz Clark, who's a UCSB Gaucho alum and a sailor. She sailed around the world and has a book out, so she did a book signing. Just fun events that bring the community together.
So now how
together.
Do you determine what events that you do at the space?
Yeah, we do our own. So we produce a lot of movie screenings. So we'll pick some movies and screen them. It's called the Sandbox Screens is the sort of series name we've been working with. We'll also do business events around the topic. And then we have a lot of partners that we work with. Right now it's been Patagonia for sure. Channel Keeper is another one. The Blue Business Council had their Green Business Awards in there. A lot of it's been environmentally focused or outdoor focused. And then also tech. So we do a lot of product launches for companies, tech happy hours, that kind of thing in the space.
So now who would what is the business model? How is the Sandbox making money?
The Sandbox is making money. We were very startup focused in the beginning. We really bootstrapped the business itself. We landed in a great warehouse building, which is pretty unique to Santa Barbara. My partner is a contractor, so that helped a lot for us to kind of build out the project ourselves and realize what we could do to kind of take advantage of our talents and save some money in the process. And that enabled us to build out a couple different revenue models. One is membership based, so month-to-month revenue for people coming in to co-work and use the shared workspace.
So the membership piece, that's when you would pay a set amount a month or whatever for the ability to have. Now, is it your own desk that you go to every time, or is it like a hoteling desk style?
Yeah, so the co-working memberships are co-working, the various types we have. We have a night and weekend, we have day passes, or you use the common workspace. So you could be sitting at the same desk if someone didn't show up earlier and sit there before you got there.
Right.
Or you could be in different desks every day and stand and sit and try different things out.
Now, can you leave anything there?
You can leave stuff there. I left my computer on a desk when I left. Hopefully somebody doesn't move it out of the way, but no.
Right.
No, you can leave stuff there. We've got lockers and places to store if you want to leave your stuff overnight. That's the non-dedicated space model. Then we have a number of desks that are dedicated. They're your space. You pay month to month, and that's your space. Some of various sizes and privacy. We have a couple offices as well. And so that's the month-to-month revenue that we generate from the members that are in the building.
And what would you say your membership capacity is?
It's a smaller building. So we're looking to probably get to about 85 or 90 people in the space.
Okay.
So a mix of different types of memberships.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
That's
getting pretty close.
That's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
So that the membership, I like to call it channel of your business is one, and then the events is another.
The events is another. Yeah, we do our own events. Sometimes have a door cover charge to get in, and then usually run a cash bar for beer and wine, and that goes to a nonprofit that we work with. Lately, it's been Channel Keeper. Community Environmental Council has been another. So we do that for the evening events. That's one model. The other model is someone like a Patagonia or Toad & Co., which is hosting this ocean mm-hmm. film tour in a couple weeks, rents the space out, and they bring in the event. We support them however we can with help and setup and audio and visuals, and they just pay us a fee for the venue.
Great. And then and any other?
Oh, and then we do a lot of networking events, business panels, that kind of thing. If there's a business event that needs a location, we're happy to take that on and manage it. We also host a few meetups here and there, just helping build the community, tech community, art, creative community.
So the advantage of being a tenant in your space as opposed to someplace else mm-hmm. is that they have people that they can actually walk down the hall and say, what do you think of this?
Yeah, we're in it's literally one big building with some offices tucked underneath the mezzanine and some offices up above. So you're always kind of seeing who's in the space. And if someone walks in that you need a question answered or some help with, they're all there and everybody helps. Yeah.
You know, in the 1970s, there was a move in New York to move out of the city if you were a big employer and move to Stamford, Connecticut or Greenwich, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pepsi-Cola and IBM and many, many companies moved to these large college campus type places where people had their lunch in the same building and met with the same people. And what they found after 20 years is that there was a loss of creativity and energy, because when you worked in Manhattan and you walked across 47th and Park just to go get a sandwich, you ran into a competitor and said, hey, how you doing? What are you working on?
Yeah.
And so one of the things about creativity is that it sometimes, and, you know, Warren Buffett's another example of somebody that, you know, realizes you can't just talk to the same people. And you need to have sort of an energy that gets created by people also out there trying to think of new things. And, you know, this model is one that for years has at least empirically been proven to work. As long as you can get an opportunity to speak to people like you, with different ideas, you'll be a beneficiary.
Yeah, and it works. Big city, small city. It's been working all across the world. Doesn't quite matter the size of the city. If there's people with their own independent businesses or working remotely for someone else, and they all want to come together, it's a great way to bring people together.
So I'm retired, and I've been retired for 20 years, and I have no business.
Yeah. Can you join? Yes,
can I join?
Can.
So I'll have someone to talk to during lunch.
Yeah, we've got some pseudo-retired entrepreneurs that are in there just to kind of be around the community, and we love having them.
Well, and it's an energy and an expertise that brings to the space that people can ask questions. And so
I was just joking, but that's interesting that there are people like that.
Yeah, a couple that...
Neil, I think you would be perfect for it. Kyle, make sure you send him the membership opportunities after the show. Yeah.
I think this is a really good time to take a break. You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldis.com or call 805-962-5394.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change the world's behavior through brainwashing. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. And that costs a family of four $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. It's worsening climate change through the release of methane gas. Save the food. Cha-ching. And it's wasting precious natural resources like our fresh water. Save the food. Cha-ching. So when you hear this sound, don't be neutral. Rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
If you're just joining us, we have Kyle Ashby from The Sandbox in studio with us today. So if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. So Kyle, you have your MBA from Babson College, and Is that what, you know, being a film and geography major undergrad, is that what inspired you, that MBA, to really focus on that entrepreneurial aspect of business, or is it just in your blood?
I think it's been in my blood, but it's been in my blood very kind of scattered and unorganized, and I think the MBA really helped pull it together. I definitely didn't have the financial side going into the MBA program, so that was the one of the areas that I really focused on when I was there and learned a ton.
That's great.
You know, how to create spreadsheets and balance, you know, basically learn about your business from the financial side.
And speaking of it, what, you know, most people that I know wouldn't, at your age, because you're young, you know, be a mentor as a business model. Is your goal to build a very profitable business, or is it just as important to see successful people come out of it?
I'm going to say both. Mm-hmm. We're definitely, my partner and I are definitely trying to form a successful business. There's this co-working shared workspace market is growing pretty rapidly, and there's some holes on the sort of the smaller end boutique shop, especially on the West Coast. Everybody thinks big is better, but there's definitely some missing pieces. So I think we're going to try to fill some voids here that some of the bigger brands aren't filling. But for me, I've always helped entrepreneurs for the last 10 years, been involved at UCSB as a mentor for the technology management program. I love doing that. I love seeing people succeed. I love trying to help along the way.
Yeah, I noticed that you taught out at UCSB. Yeah. And so did you start that teaching at Antioch and UCSB before you started The Sandbox? And is that kind of where you saw that this niche would come from? Or a need?
No, I kind of knew about it just through Startup Santa Barbara. When that was running, it was sort of tucked underneath Startup America, which was an Obama initiative to see what's going on in the U.S. around startups and what communities are building what and what different types of communities are building different types of startups. And through that that partnership and through those opportunities, realized that there's a need for entrepreneurs that aren't connected to a school in town. We have some amazing schools that teach entrepreneurs, but we don't have a place for a 30-something entrepreneur, 40-something, 50-something entrepreneur to go to get help.
So, well, and what's funny about that is, you know, the definition of entrepreneur is really, you know, the school piece.
Yeah.
Is not usually, yes, the school piece is great to fill in voids that you have, like the financials or the whatever.
Right.
But you really, when you think about an entrepreneur, they kind of usually blur the lines. They don't stay within that
schooling box.
Typically speaking.
Yeah.
So with the sandbox, are you able to, when you screen for your members, are you looking for somebody who takes a specific role in, say, like you, marketing? So if somebody has a marketing question about their business, do they know that, hey, you know, is there a directory that says, hey, I should go talk to Kyle about that?
To be honest, we don't screen. I've got a lot of colleagues in a lot of cities that do this or create spaces. And really the one thing you can do for your community is actually be honest with what you're good at and what you're trying to do and who you're trying to bring in. And that sort of creates a self-screening process and who's going to actually come into your space. Not trying to be everything to everybody, but just be unique to what you are and what your team brings to the community as a, you know, serving the entrepreneurial community, and you'll end up with the right people in your place.
Right. And so do you have sponsors? Do you have like local business sponsors?
We do. Yeah. Cox Communications, always, they're sponsoring a lot of folks in town. They're a big sponsor. Patagonia's been a great corporate partner. Entreport is another supporter of entrepreneurship and what we're doing in the space. Yeah, we've got some great sponsors, partners.
That's cool. So how much time would you say are you working on your business as opposed to working in it?
We've been sort of back and forth with staff. We just brought on within the last month, an amazing team of people. We've got a great working relationship with the Bren School out at UCSB. Mm-hmm. So we brought in some grad students to help, and then hired a full-time person to help us supporting the operation. So we, Mark and I, have been spending a lot of time on our business, figuring out how to bring all these people into the system or the process or into the culture. Yeah.
The cultural mesh is, I almost think, more important than the skills mesh.
Right. And how do we create that so that we can continue to expand or go to another place, or when these folks leave or maybe they graduate from Bren, that we can bring in the next group of great
interns. And speaking of in the business, do you ever walk around and say, hey, how's it going? What are you working on?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Every day. So I love to hear what's going
on. Run us through a typical day of Kyle. Kyle's typical day at the Sandbox.
Wow.
Because it sounds funny to say out loud, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because you think you're going to do one thing and you end up deep in a conversation with one of your members or partners talking about something else or an event or something else that they want to do in the space. For me, it's a lot. I try to bring the people together and make sure they're connected. If I can make 5 or 10 connections a day, internally or externally, I think I'm doing a good job of what I do. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of just making sure people know each other, introducing people to others. There's a lot of literally 10-minute, what do you think about this, answers to some of our members. That happens often. We've also got some interesting potential future opportunities that Mark and I have been spending a lot of time on, so we've been trying to put time to that. A lot of time training our team, making sure that their process is in place. And as each thing that comes in the building, whether it's a van or a happy hour or a movie, is very different. So we're trying to standardize things. We're trying to figure out how each is slightly different and how can we make them all make more sense in the building.
I taught for 12 years at City College. I taught finance and investing. And one of the frustrating things about teaching someone who was an entrepreneur, they would come over to me after class and say, can we have coffee? And I was very, I felt very good about the fact they wanted my opinion, and they would ultimately be looking for money.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's difficult when you're trying to help people, you know, fulfill their dream, is to differentiate for them, helping them with ideas and strategies and helping them fund.
Yeah, it definitely is. And coming from the tech side, and there's a lot of great examples in Santa Barbara, being able to literally go out and make your first dollar, $10 or $100, $1,000 without somebody else's funding is probably the most valuable thing you can do. And a lot of us are pushing entrepreneurs to go try to do that first before you go look for money. And then you're in a better situation when you go try to get funding.
Yeah, well, you're showing revenue at that point, which makes it a lot easier of a sale for any venture dollars or angel dollars.
Do you ever have a conflict in your own mind when you find a really nice person who's a tenant or whatever you call them, a partner?
Member.
Yeah.
And they have a really terrible idea, and you just know it's not going anywhere. What do you do? I mean, do you help them redirect, or you just...
I always try to point people at samples of like businesses that have... maybe not been around for so long. I say, hey, are you doing the right thing, or is your business model set up the right way? Here's some potential other examples of how you might find revenue or find customers. I like people to discover things themselves and not kind of tell them. So hints and books and directions of other examples to look at are always great.
And even referrals to other people to talk to, like
that too.
Here, now you made a new contact, Neil.
Right.
Neil can be the grim reaper of businesses.
Right. But and also just being straightforward, honest. Yeah, this sucks is not a bad thing to say.
Right. Or, you know, look at the financial models. It may be a great idea, but it's not going to yield you any money.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the most rewarding part of working with your members and entrepreneurs in general?
I like seeing the successes. I like seeing where they're going. I'm a people person. It took me 20 years to figure that out sitting behind the computer, but just seeing who connects to who and who ends up working with who and you know, who might get funding from somebody or develop a partnership with the business. I think those are some of my most rewarding situations.
So do you see that often among the membership, that there's a lot of cross-pollination of when somebody comes up with an idea, they kind of pull from that?
Yeah, there's a lot of expertise. We have a couple of remote sales guys that have two guys in particular that have had tons of experience with tech companies who are kind of my go-to. Hey, have you talked to Steve?
Right.
He's seen a lot. go talk to him. And they end up, in a couple of situations, end up becoming working with each other and working with the two businesses that they represent, which is really neat.
Yeah, that must be super rewarding, and seeing people kind of mesh and come together and pull together for a common goal.
Yeah.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Come play at Ealing's Park, whether it's by yourself, as a team, with your dog, on your bike, or soaring through the sky. Come play anytime, any day. For over 25 years, the Ealing's Park Foundation has been dedicated to maintaining this beautiful open space and creating a place for the entire community to come play. Ealing's Park is a remarkable environmental example of what is possible when people care about the best parts of their community and take ownership of wonderful facilities like our park. Ealing's Park receives no financial support from any aspect of government and is completely self-supporting. So come visit the park today and support Santa Barbara's largest nonprofit park. Join the many Santa Barbarans saying, Ealing's is my park, and make it your park too. For information, call 569-5611. That's 569-5611. Or visit online at www.ealingspark.org. That's ELINGSPARK.org.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
So, Kyle, what gave you the idea for the Sandbox?
Gave me the idea. I wanted to bring people together. I was involved in another project in town, and actually I've been a member in every single co-working space or shared workspace going back to the old Santa Barbara Technology Ventures building on Gutierrez. Realized that there's always great places and great places to work, but how you create that work-life balance and how you bring the art community in, how you bring the creative community in. Being a film undergrad, I'm super passionate about film, so wanting to combine that into the space as well and combine those audiences together.
Because for shared workspace in Santa Barbara, there's been a couple competitors here locally.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And so would you say, so from what I'm hearing from you, one of your distinguishing or competitive advantages are you really focus on the niche of, you know, conservation environment. But what else would you say makes you different, or why should I choose the Sandbox over any of the other options available?
Yeah, I think just being a boutique space for about 4,500 square feet, owner-operated. The two of us are both longtime entrepreneurs and really active Santa Barbarans. We love, or Mark lives in Ventura, but originally from here. We love the outdoors. We love being
there.
How
do you two meet?
We go back to... 10 years old, playing basketball against each other as kids, and then kind of continued to cross paths along the way. Went to UCSB at the same time, didn't really hang out much, and we have a mutual friend that's a realtor in town, and when I started looking around for the next opportunity to build one of these, went to Omid and said, hey, let's go look at some spaces, and he said, hey, have you talked to Mark? And I said, no, let's talk.
Oh, that's cool.
Together.
Well, we have a caller. Hello, caller. Cuddy?
Hello?
Hi, Cuddy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask Kyle what he thought about other good resources in Santa Barbara for entrepreneurs. I know I want to start my own business, but I don't know what I really want to do, so I wanted to see, you know, what was out there that could kind of help me along the way.
Yeah, what are you looking into? Is it a tech idea? Is it a food idea? Is it a...
More of a tech idea, probably a mobile app.
Yeah, mobile app. Santa Barbara's a bit limited on mobile resources, which is kind of disappointing. I know there's a few of us trying to work to bring some new things in. I would definitely pay attention to... Santa Barbara's got a lot of events, so the MIT okay. Enterprise Forum is a great place that a lot of the tech leaders are there monthly. That's a great place to go. There's a number of meetups. We've got tons of meetups from, you know, there used to be a great mobile meetup, so maybe helping to rekindle that might be a good thing to get involved okay. in. It always helps to lead, and then you end up meeting more people in the space, more people that can help your project. But yeah, look at meetup.com for some of the more tech-focused groups in town. Mm-hmm. Drop into what's going on at UCSB in the Technology Management Program. It is an undergrad and graduate program for entrepreneurs, but the community is really, really involved in that program, and you'll meet a lot of great people there as well.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh. Perfect. Thanks for calling. So when you have these great ideas that come out of this, your members at the Sandbox, is there any... if you help somebody get financing, or if you help somebody, do you get some piece of ownership? Do you get any brokerage fees? How does that work?
We are set up really casual. None of the above. It's just a community space to come together. And I think that really creates honesty. There's a kind of a trend, not a trend, but an idea in the tech community is that you give first. If you give first, something's always going to come back. There's a great book called Startup Communities that Brad Feld wrote. That if you're not giving first to the community that you're getting involved in, the community that you're ultimately going to have members or customers from, there's no real reason in doing what you're doing. You're kind of taking more than you're giving. So we always like to refer as many people as possible to whoever we can and don't really worry about the financial side. Maybe that's... the reason why we're not making tons of money, but I doubt it. I'd rather have good karma and be able to look somebody in the eye and say, "Hey, nice job."
Do you ever have events where you invite angel investors in and let people make presentations?
Yeah, we do. We've done a couple of different demo nights. We ran an event last year called the Startup Mashup. It was a combination of two opportunities for local companies to go expose their ideas to bigger crowds. There was a great group of tech investors in the room at that time. There are, you know, a couple of angel alliances in town that do their own sort of pitch nights, but we're trying to make things a little more public and get people out and, you know, out in public to present what they're doing. But yeah, we'll be doing that again in September, and that's a partnership with a company called Tech.co, and it's their Startup of the Year program.
Do you ever allow trolling? I mean, where people who are sort
like
of,
speed dating?
No, but you know, someone who is known to you as a investor to just walk around and just talk to people, or that's
oh yeah there's investors dropping in all the time. We do have a mentor program, and a lot of those mentors are investors, and you know, they're trying to help, but they're also trying to look for opportunities and expose the investment groups that they're in to great tech investments or great okay. entrepreneurial investments.
So I'm not an entrepreneur in the technology sense for sure, and I'm also a New Yorker, so this is where this question is coming from. Aren't people afraid their ideas are going to get stolen when they have they don't have anything other than the idea, and they're talking to people who are entrepreneurs also?
I think there are a lot of people with that idea in mind that they are going to get stolen, but everybody's got their passion. If you're not building what you're passionate about, you're building the wrong thing. So if the chances of you finding someone as passionate for your idea that you are that would steal your idea is pretty rare. Pretty uncommon.
CPO is what I call that, chief paranoid officer.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
You hit the nail on the head.
Exactly.
That's a great way and a great piece of advice for anybody out there listening that has their or thinking about starting their own business. You have to be more passionate about it than anyone else.
Than anybody else, you're ultimately going to fail probably.
Rob and I always talk about, you know, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right,
because
right.
there are always hard parts. You know, there are always parts where you look down the line and it looks harder, like you can't see the light right. at the end of the tunnel. And so that was a great piece of advice.
And the other side, too, is just get your idea out there. You never know how it's going to change. The more people you talk to about your idea, you may end up with something ultimately at the end that's going to be more profitable, more successful, more easy to turn people on to it, easier to attract talent to it. And you got to get that feedback before you start spending lots of time on it.
Right. Might actually be easier to solve whatever problem that you're trying to solve.
Right.
Typically, is there a typical story of people who are first-timers? How do they survive? I mean, these are full-time entrepreneurs with no revenue. This is like postgraduate without taking courses. But do they have money from family? They go to work every day, but they're not getting paid.
Yeah, there's a combination, especially in our space. There's some students that are sort of hanging on to some past opportunities that they had, or from maybe student loans, that kind of thing, and built a revenue-based business. There are people that work a regular job, maybe a 9-to-5 job, that have that just come in on the evenings. We created a night owl membership for the side hustle people that just want to come in the evenings on Saturdays and Sundays and work and be around people. It's a variety. It's people figure it out. Santa Barbara is also a great place to pick up that side bartending job or that waiting job and actually make some decent money to live on and build your entrepreneurial thing, whatever that might be.
So you're open late?
Yeah, we're open 24/7. We have most of our memberships are 24/7 access. You get a little key on your phone to come in the door and come work anytime, make yourself a cup of coffee and feel at home.
Wow. So 24/7.
Yep.
Now I know where I need to throw Rob.
yeah, bring Rob down for sure. And, you know, a lot of parents too, like getting out of the house when your spouse is home and maybe you need to go somewhere new to focus for 2 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah, you forgot that one. Spouses.
Yeah, spouses too. Yeah, the support of the family is another opportunity for entrepreneurs to succeed.
So tomorrow, if I get up and I see that my wife has bought me a membership in your group, it's because she wants me out of the house?
Out of the house, yeah.
I can speak on her behalf, yes. Emphatically, yes.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldis.com or call 805-962-5394.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we have in studio with us Kyle Ashby, entrepreneur and founder of The Sandbox. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, and so we we covered that you have, in order to be a member of the Sandbox, you have membership costs. And what are those tiers? And if somebody out there is listening and interested in your space, where should they go to find out more information?
Sure. Our website's thesandboxsb.com. And then all of our social media handles are sandboxsb, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. They can always drop by. Come say hi. We do the first day free. If you want to come down and try it for the first day, it's on us. And then we've got a number of memberships from there.
Perfect. And what's the range in terms of costs from like the night owl where you're only there after five or whatever parameters are?
Our day passes are $25. Our night owl, I believe right now it's $129 a month, I think it is. 24/7 access is still our introductory rate of $247. And then from there we have desks from dedicated desks from $450 to $650 to $750 and up from there and for some private offices.
And then do you have you had mentioned before that there were lockers if I wanted to keep, a picture of my kids there so I could take it out every day?
Yeah, as a coworker, there's lockers. There's also mailboxes that you use. You can use the address for a business if you need a Santa Barbara address. We do have virtual memberships as well. But, yeah, lockers for the coworkers. And then the dedicated spaces, you can leave your stuff there. That's your space. We don't touch it. And it's safe and sound.
And you have Wi-Fi available?
Yeah, we've got the business service Wi-Fi from Cox. It's been great.
That's just a given system. If you're dealing in the technology space.
But the extra, it's like to go to a hotel and they charge you $10 for Wi-Fi.
That's all included. Wi-Fi, coffee, tea. We got a great beer sponsor, M Special, which I forgot to mention earlier. They've been awesome.
Wow, so you have beer even.
We have beer for our members, yes. Kombucha. It's just fun. It's kind of like a little bit of a club vibe. Executive club, private club.
And what's the split between men and women?
When we started, we were actually 65% women and about 35% men, and it's remained about that. I'd say we're probably 60-40 right now women. I left, and there were two guys in the building, and the rest were women, which was about 20 women, which is impressive for
that's really
a space that went out, thinking that we were going to be a tech space, and it would be all men. It's majority of our members are women.
That's great. That's it. Well, I think what it is that there are a lot of women entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Oh,
and a space like that is very attractive to women to have that ability to everybody, but women too, to be able to interact with people of like mind, bounce ideas off of, collaborate. That's really what helps your idea get even better.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing is I would say probably 60% plus of our members are parents. And I think it's just because of the flexible timing that we're open, availability to get in there and availability to say, hey, it's 4:00 and maybe my spouse came home and he or she is watching the kid. I'm going to go down and get a couple hours of work in.
Right.
And do you allow pets?
We don't allow pets. We would love to allow dogs, but we're on a busy street and we have a garage door that opens up to the street. And having been a longtime dog owner, I would hate my dog to run out into the street. And I would hate for somebody else's dog to do the same.
So what are some future events coming up for the Sandbox?
Sure. We've got a great event on the 20th, the night before Earth Day starts, with Toad & Co., a local clothing company in town, apparel company. It's called the International Ocean Film Tour. This is the fifth version of the tour. It's just looking at the website, about 7 short films about anything from surfing to stand-up paddleboarding to diving to sailing. That's on the 20th at about 7:00, Friday night. We've got a number of meetups coming up. Check out meetup.com and you'll see what's in our space. Like I said, we've got...
And for the movie, for the events, how much does it cost to get in?
I believe the Ocean Film Tour is $10 and that comes with beer, I believe. It's Toad & Co. is the sponsor of that one, presenting that one. And the benefactor, the nonprofit, we always work with a nonprofit, is Channel Keeper. And that's actually who we've picked as well to kind of work with this year. We just joined 1% for the Planet, really earth-focused and ocean-focused, and love the folks at Channel Keeper.
We need them more than ever after that mudslide. So in terms of what's next for the Sandbox, what do you have any programs, what do you think that next business step is for you?
Yeah, we're chatting. We've got a greater network outside of Santa Barbara that's tied into entrepreneurial spaces all over the U.S. and world. We're on a platform called Proximity, and that allows our members to go work in a number of locations all over the U.S. So we're kind of drawing some attention to that going forward. And with that, building some programs in our space that will be in partnership with a few other locations around the world that are entrepreneurial and startup
focused.
That's
great.
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I now have a place I can go to.
Yeah.
Well, I can't bring my dogs. Great that you're doing that for the community. You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
It's